I'm here at the Lowry in Salford Quays as the gallery readies itself for the opening of its latest exhibition, Invitation to the Ballet. This is an exhibition that attempts to tell the story of the Royal Ballet right from its early beginnings in the 1920s through to its present-day performances. It's a show that combines artwork with photography, memorabilia and some stunning costumes. I'm here now with Michael Simpson, Head of Visual Art at the Lowry. Michael, can you tell me how this unique collaboration with the Royal Ballet came about?
Unique's the word, actually. I don't think the Royal Ballet have ever entered into this sort of arrangement before. It came about because L.S. Lowry, the artist L.S. Lowry, and we're home to the world's largest collection of Lowry's works, always had a fascination, an enduring fascination with the ballet, which was little known by many people. And the idea was maybe to do a small exhibition that would look at Lowry's interest in the ballet. Yeah. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, I don't like small things. I like big, whopping, great big shows. So why don't we try and see if we can talk to the Royal Ballet about doing a history of the Royal Ballet using their collections, which I knew were wonderful. And in the middle of that, we can have a moment which is about L.S. Lowry's interest in ballet. And so we sat down with Royal Ballet, and they were really interested in the idea, and we kind of took it from there, and it's grown into this enormous exhibition that we're surrounded by now.
And am I right in thinking it's the first exhibition of its kind? It's never been attempted before to sort of tell the story of the Royal Ballet?
Certainly not on this comprehensive scale. The Royal Ballet shows some of their collections for individual periods at Covent Garden, at their home in Covent Garden. But there's never been an exhibition of this scale, this depth. And the vast, vast majority of exhibits in this exhibition have never been seen by members of the public before.
Fantastic. And it focuses on the founder. Is that the core narrative for the show?
It does. It focuses on a woman called Ninette de Valois, who in many ways is the guiding light behind ballet in Britain. Without her, the development of ballet in Britain would have been much later and much slower, and we wouldn't have be where we are now, one of the world's great ballet countries. And the interesting thing is Ninette de Valois, her lifespan very much echoed L.S. Lowry's. They were both very individual, both very strong characters. They both lived at around about the same time. They lived obviously separate lives, and then they came together during wartime when Lowry particularly became interested in the ballet, and he met her then, and then they went off in their separate directions again. So it's these two extraordinary individuals kind of coming together briefly and going away again. But Ninette de Valois, this amazing woman, a dancer, a choreographer, director, she is the godmother, if you like, of ballet in Britain, in England, and certainly of the Royal Ballet.
And going back to Lowry for a minute, because most people think of Lowry and they think of industrial scenes from working class Salford. So what was his interest in ballet?
Well, he was interested in classical music, in ballet, in theatre. I mean, he was just a much more all-round man than perhaps people give him credit for. He used to love to listen to music while he painted and listen to ballet scores while he painted. And it was from about, we think, the mid-1930s that he started to go to ballet. And ballet started to come to Manchester on a regular basis. The Royal Ballet came to Manchester every year from 1935 onwards. Right. And he started to go and see the ballet, to see absolutely top-notch ballet, and just fell in love with it, really. But in particular, he fell in love with the ballet Coppelia, which is about Dr. Coppelius, who builds a mannequin doll, and a young villager falls in love with this doll, and then his girlfriend impersonates the doll. And it's quite a convoluted story, but Lowry was fascinated by the way that doctor kind of manipulated this doll-like character. And some of the drawings that we're showing, which are being seen for the first time in this exhibition, very much echo the story of Coppelia and Dr. Coppelius. You can see these hands playing with this doll-like character.
Right.
And so it became really quite specific, something actually really quite personal for him as well.
Because there's the character of Anne, who is quite well known in Lowry's work, very stylized figure with sort of rosebud lips and dark hair and dramatic eyes. And some people think that she is based on that character.
Well, it's a very strong argument, because peasant girl who impersonates the doll is called Swanhilda. And Lowry invented, as we believe, invented this female character called Anne or Annhilda. And he started painting Annhilda not long after he saw Swanhilda in the Coppelia Ballet. So it's a pretty strong argument. Mm. The as you describe her, Anne has these quite severe features, but you look at, we've got photographs of dancers like Fontaine and Beryl Gray in this exhibition, and you look at the dance, these photographs of these dancers, and there's a real striking kind of comparison with this character Anne. Now, Anne may be based on a real person, but really the main thinking is that she was imagined, but certainly nobody has ever, we've never tracked down who Anne might be if she is a real person. So it's an absolutely fascinating story. It's one that captivates a lot of our visitors. Who was Anne? It's a great, she's a great enigma, almost like the Mona Lisa in a way. And it's lovely to be able to show, we've brought together five different versions of Anne in this exhibition for the first time, including a very important one from a private collection. So it's nice to bring those together as well.
Michael Simpson, thank you very much. Invitation to the ballet opens on Saturday and runs through until March.